Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. Today, we are going to be finding out about CO2 and you, what you need to know. And we have with us, I have a lot of names for these guys, but today it's the dynamic duo of the HVAC world, and I so mean that, the world. Please join me in welcoming in studio the two dynamic duo couple of Gary Gibson and Tim Sibley from Russet Southwest, one of the oldest and most highly regarded HVAC companies in the Southwest. They are supporters of and believers in the Mrs. Green's world and mission, for which I am very grateful. And on a very personal note, my husband and I learned a great deal about the air quality of our home and how to remedy it so that we know we are breathing clean air. And there were some surprises in it for us. Trust me, that's why I call them the dynamic duo of the HVAC world. Tim and Gary and their team of qualified technicians have spent quite a bit of time here, and it has been an ongoing education. And this is another show that I've been very excited about because of the seriousness of the issue of the air quality in our homes. And I try to get as much passion in my voice when I say that because it is definitely what I feel. And I'm always eager to share it with the Mrs. Green's world listeners. So welcome, dynamic duo. I think we should have shirts made, actually. I do. And I'll start wearing them around town. What All do right. you think?
Thank you very much for having us.
Yes, thank
you. We have learned a lot, and not all of it good. I mean, some surprising when you think your air quality is great, and then you find out what does lie within. So we'll talk about that. But anyway, I think it's great when you start a show like this to talk about what HVAC actually stands for. And we did cover it in one of the other shows. But it to me, what's interesting in this education process is, if anybody asked me what HVAC stand for, I would have said heating and air conditioning, because we ignore the V. Now, to me, the V is the most important initial in there, because we're all going to get heat and we're all going to get air conditioning. But what about ventilation? And has it always been in there? Gary, can you answer that? Has V always been part of it?
The V has always been there, and it's since the beginning of when homes started to be built tighter that it really became a very important part of the construction process, because homes, the way they're built currently, do not have enough ventilation.
And we thought that was so good when it was happening. Seal the home, keep all the heating in and the air conditioning in.
Right, seal the home, make yourself sick.
that sounds like a bumper sticker.
Yeah, and what we're discovering is the more we test and the more better equipment we have to test with, that even homes built back in the 40s and 50s, depending on their location and how their surroundings are, the ventilation in those homes can also not be acceptable.
So it's just illuminating to me, more information.
Yeah. So you might say that almost every home needs some man-provided ventilation.
Right. So it's just not left to the devices of the machines.
Right.
So when you have sophisticated testing equipment, and is it fair to say, I mean, I followed you guys around, is it really the most sophisticated equipment available on the market today? Is that accurate and fair? I don't like to make false, exaggerated claims, even though I'm a drama queen.
Yeah. No, it is the most accurate available, and it's only been available recently in the last year.
And Russet Southwest has it. So that,
yes,
to me, is very impressive. So for this show, I'd like you to educate us about some gases first and then move on to the ozone. So I did a lot of research, the total non-chemist. I am an English major. I loved Shakespeare. I had to read a lot about carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, and they're often confused. I read a lot about that. The names sound the same. Not really. I mean, CO and CO2 don't sound the same to me, but they're both colorless and odorless, and at high concentrations, both can be deadly. The difference to me that was confusing is that CO2 is a common naturally occurring gas required for all plant and animal life, but it can have a really harmful impact on humans. Can you talk to us about that, Gary?
Yes, because the elevated levels of carbon dioxide, when you get above 1,000 parts per million, you start to have adverse health effects from it.
What happens?
Starts out with you're starting to feel fatigued, you're getting headaches, you get lethargic, and it just gets more serious the higher the content goes.
And with it being colorless and odorless, it's not like you can smell smoke or smell something weird in the house. That's the scary part about it for me.
No. And that is one of the parts where ventilation is so crucial.
And before we got on the show, we talked a little bit about what I was going to go over, and I thought I had read that the concentration of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere as of 2016 was 400 parts per million. And you said, Gina, something like that so yesterday, even though that was the highest concentration in 3 million years. Where are we now?
In our local area, the Tucson metropolitan area, we're running daily anywhere between 500 parts per million and 800 parts per million. And we measure multiple houses and multiple locations daily.
So it's coming into our house.
Yes.
That's what's happening. So it's out there and you measure it, but doors open and windows open and garage doors open. So it's seeping in?
No. You also are generating carbon dioxide out of your bodies. Every time you breathe, you generate carbon dioxide into the air. So ventilation, one of the parts of how ventilation works is you exchange outdoor air to the indoors and remove the highly polluted indoor air back outside.
Got it. Okay. So we're doing it, and I could think of so many jokes right now, and I'm far too comfortable with you guys. So, like, if I brush my teeth and if I take a mint, will it help when I'm expelling into the air? But obviously that is not the case.
Not the case in carbon dioxide.
It's odorless.
But if I am a homeowner, but if I am an apartment dweller or a homeowner, how do I know that we're at alarming levels of CO2, if it's even noticeable, other than listening to the show and knowing maybe I'm feeling nauseous, maybe I'm a little lethargic, maybe I have a headache? How do you know?
One way a lot of people, once they understand some of the symptoms of it, is if you feel good when you're away from your house and when you come home to your home, after you're there a while, you start to feel tired and run down. That's how a lot of people actually gear in on it.
Right. And Tim, you get a lot of the calls and you schedule a lot of things. Do people actually call you about air quality in their homes, or is it mostly about, you know, now it's 175 in the shade in Tucson, a bit of an exaggeration, so people want to make sure their coolers and their air conditioners are working. But are people, is there any trend that would indicate people are more aware that air quality is an issue?
Slowly but surely, we keep, each year, I would say over the last 2 or 3 years, we're getting a little increase of calls with thanks to people like yourself and others. Just education is getting better out there. People are starting to understand. We went through this phase where we were making our homes as energy efficient as possible, and then now we're seeing all the health effects of that. And now a lot of people are more interested in ventilation and making their homes more healthy.
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing our best to get the word out there, and we're going to continue to fight this fight.
I don't like the word zealot, but I mean, people, you know, at dinner parties and stuff, they say they've been having chronic headaches. You know me, I pounce on them and say, it's probably your air quality. Have you had your air quality tested? Or people, that one woman that was getting sick and it was clearly the chair. She got a new chair. She said, every time I sit in this chair, I feel sick and I get a headache. And I went, it's off gassing. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know, it'll take time. When we got a new couch, James and I, because of the improved air quality in our home, once you have eliminated a lot of that and artificial smells from cleaning products and stuff, if something foreign comes in, you pick up on it. I'm not quite like the nose yet, but I'm really getting better about understanding it. Gary, you know so much about the science, and I say that very sincerely. And you talked to me something about ultrafines. What are ultrafines, and why should we care?
Ultrafines are the really, really small particles. They're about 1/100th the size of the human hair. So you cannot see them with the human eye. The only way we know how many are there is we have the equipment to measure it. Our ultrafine count outdoors in around Tucson right now is so high it's unbelievable.
What now, are they? Like,
they're
what
particles.
Is it? Particles.
It's yes.
Okay. It's the divine mystery.
And lots of carbon in it.
Okay.
Carbon, dust, and everything.
And does it get worse when there's wind and no rain for a long period of time? Does that impact it?
Wind doesn't necessarily impact it. It can help it sometimes. Now, right now, with all the fires around our geographical area, the winds probably are bringing more things into the valley.
Right, right.
But the ultrafines, a simple way to put it is they bypass your nose they don't bypass your nose, but they go directly into your bloodstream.
Got it.
They
Got it.
Don't get filtered out by your lungs and the process your lungs do.
Right, our normal cleaning systems that are just in our bodies.
Right.
So that's really scary, and they have to land somewhere. That's what I say to people about things we ingest. Yeah. It has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So to answer back to you, Tim, and Gary, the only way that people can really know about these levels in their home is... One way is to be tuned into their health, and if they're outside and come in and have some of these negative, impacts. But the other way is to have their air quality tested, which I'm so glad we did. Yes?
Correct.
Yeah.
And tested, and it's amazing when we test people's house, kind of the shock they get when they realize and see the actual numbers of how much worse it is indoor than outdoor. A lot of times we feel safe in our homes. But there's these things we can't see, these particles, these ultrafines that we're breathing in and sleeping, breathing these things in. And there's a big trend. There's a lot of kids' respiratory problems. I mean, I meet kids all the time. They say they don't feel good all the time. Are they making it up? Or are they really not feeling good? And it could be a lot to do with what's in the air, what we're breathing. So getting it tested, I'd recommend everybody have their home tested.
And when you factor in the cleaning products, which is important, there's lots of toxins in those. And if you're using a multiplier, effect, one for the toilet and one for the windows and one for the floors and one for your furniture polish, that all goes into the mix. And asthma is at critical levels here in Pima County, and upper respiratory disease. I want to mention that on every show. The third highest cause of fatalities in Pima County. A shocking statistic when I started to become a zealot. It was in my early zealot years, as I would like to say. So what about carbon monoxide? Why is it dangerous, and where does that come from? I know we're not breathing that out.
No.
At least I hope I'm not.
carbon monoxide is lethal at a very low level. And so to our standard, 0 parts per million of carbon monoxide in your home is the only level that's acceptable to us. But carbon monoxide mostly comes from automobile exhaust.
That's what I thought. That's on TV when they close the garage and turn the car on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Most common way of suicide.
Yeah. That's just, yeah. And again, odorless, colorless. You don't know.
Very fast, very lethal.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder if that happens in a hybrid. I'm sure it does. I'm just kidding. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about, I think we have a very active and robust air quality, Department of Environmental Quality. I get alerts issued. And I want to take a little time to read this because I think it's really important and so relevant to what Russet Southwest does to remediate these things. So several times a week since June 20th, the Department of Environmental Quality has issued advisory that says, for particulates and ozone, due to elevated levels of particulate matter throughout eastern Pima County. And I quote from one particular advisory. According to the National Weather Service, winds are bringing smoke from the Fry Fire near Safford in the Tucson area. In addition, there's a possibility that strong winds predicted could add airborne dust to the mix of elevated particulates. Particulate levels will likely remain in the air for a day or more until the wind direction and speeds change or if it rains. Also, when the cloud cover we are currently experiencing dissipates, it is possible that the solar radiation will increase ground-level ozone pollution as well. Very cheerful there, news bulletin about solar radiation. So walk us through what happens when ground-level ozone is elevated, and how can it impact the quality of our homes inside, or does it?
Yes, it can impact the inside of the home. Our levels for the last week plus have been extremely high every day. Bad ozone, as it's called, ground level ozone, is very detrimental to your lungs. And it takes some of the different hydrocarbons and things in the air heated up by the sun to get the bad ozone. And it's really very detrimental to lungs.
And so you really can't, first of all, you're breathing it if you're outside. And Then again, it comes in the house.
Oh, yes. Everything outside is inside.
So does it ever happen when the air quality in someone's house is worse than outside?
The majority of the time, if they don't have reasonable ventilation, the air quality inside will be worse than outside.
That is awful.
it's the physics and the facts of it.
And what happens? We get used to it. That's why. Because we live in these houses and we don't smell anything and it's not like in your face. It's silent.
Yeah. Right. But you end up going to the doctor a lot.
Yeah. For all kinds of things, which is our Megan Reagan story
Right. Of
how sick she was and our friend that you helped really heal from chronic sinus infections. And it was something in her house. I tell that story so wrong, I'm never telling the story again because I made up part of it. But it's just what matters to me is that this precious human being is now healthy.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Now, second part about the advisory that is confusing, maybe. It goes on to say that individuals with heart disease and respiratory sensitivities, of which there are thousands in Pima County, may want to reduce their level of exertion due to the increase in the amount of particulates they breathe into their lungs. Small particles can travel into the respiratory system, which is what you said, and cause short-term health effects such as eye, nose, throat, and lung irritation, coughing, sneezing, runny nose, and shortness of breath. The most at risk may feel better if they avoid outside exercise, stay inside as much as possible, and keep windows and doors closed to help reduce exposure to particulate matter. So here's the question. Is there any risk? I want to try and assess the risk. This was a hard one for me to struggle with. About, I want people that listen to this to hear the bell toll. And to know it's not a death knell, it's an alarm to get them to wake up. So what can we tell listeners to pay attention to? Because you might come in from outside and think you got sick from all the stuff you were breathing, when in fact that was pretty good and you came in and got sicker.
Yeah. And that's the sad thing is most people do not know. They don't know if it's worse inside their house or worse outside.
So let's go on to remedies and solutions. And I want to really go into this because it's an expense. And the way that I look at it is people have budgets and they're willing to spend money on this, 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 and this. One of the greatest expenses and the biggest challenges facing families today are healthcare expenses. So to me, it's like, okay, invest in your health by having an air quality inspection, find out what's wrong, and do the remediation, whether it's over time, whether it's do it yourself. And that I feel obviously passionately about it. Talk to us about what some of the remedies are.
Well, like we said, the V, ventilation is the most important
thing. The big V.
The big V. Ventilation, and you want to have the right amounts of ventilation. You want to have the right amounts of makeup air. You want to have pressure management. It's hard. I don't want to say this. You really need to get your home tested by a company that knows what they're doing, properly test it, measure the house, and get it done professionally. That's what I would recommend. If you think you're having issues with your health and you think it may be your house, call Russet Southwest.
And that's clearly what I want people to do. I trust you. I did a lot of research. I, you know, partner very judiciously with people that I know I can trust. Look at what TEP has to say about your company. I mean, there's another, just an accolade. So have an inspection. What about, are there some things that you can do, like how important it is to change the filters on the air conditioning and the heating? Is that something that will help to help your indoor air quality?
Yeah, definitely. Replace those filters. Yeah, it's not enough. If you don't have proper ventilation, it's hard to really stress how important ventilation truly is. And like we said, most people don't realize how important it is. Most homes built, I would say most before 2003, there's a good chance that you don't have ventilation in your home. There's a good chance your home is probably a lot worse indoor than it is outdoor. And
I might add that sadly, even after it became code to have at least fresh air into the heating and cooling system, that lots of times it wasn't done and it got through inspections and things. And we find homes every day that should have had some type of ventilation that have none.
And I'd like to talk about our house for a little bit.
Your house was one of them.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I just wanted to get an A plus from the beginning, and I did not. But now we get A plus. Yeah. So let's talk turkey. A lot of times, or is this true, where the concentrations of air are not so great are in bathrooms. And I want to add this because, like most friends of mine, we have a master bedroom and a bathroom that's right there. So it's not just about what happens in the bathroom, but about there's not usually open windows or any time. It's a closed area. Like our bedroom's open, but the bathroom, we don't have a window that opens. Where do you typically find, is it concentrations in different areas of the house or is it the air everywhere?
Speaking straightforward, the master bedroom area is usually the most contaminated part of the home.
Like, geez Louise.
And that's where you spend
so much,
hopefully at least 8 hours a day.
Yes. And a lot of us have TVs in our bedroom, let's be honest.
Yes.
And so it might be a little bit more than that.
Right.
Seriously, that's what I was thinking about when you guys left. That's where a lot of the remediation took place. That's where we live.
Yes. And we know that is normally we find to be the most contaminated room in the house.
And just for all the reasons I said, there's no air exchange, I mean, whatsoever. It's like a sealed container back there.
Right.
So that was interesting. And then are there other areas like kitchens? Are there high concentration in kitchens? What could possibly go wrong if you have an electric stove? Is a gas stove mean there's more? Or what about kitchens?
Gas stoves definitely mean there's more. And again, it comes down to the overall ventilation of the whole home.
Right.
Because things will move around the house.
Right.
It's not. Laundry rooms are where there can be contamination from the products we use to wash our clothes and things with.
You know, it's so funny. I do think of you often because this has had an impact on my life and my mission of Mrs. Green's World, and ask any one of my friends. But when I am out, it was so funny, I borrowed a shirt from a friend recently and I put it on. And I knew that they used a, one of those sheets, a dryer sheet, because I could smell it. And I went like this and was like, oh my gosh, which 5 years ago, never would have noticed. I mean, we haven't used dryer sheets for years, but you really do refine your sense of smell when you eliminate all these fake smells. And then another friend, it happened a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, she uses fabric softener. and I can smell it. So those things are in your laundry room. Right. If I'm smelling it on my clothes, not good, because you know it's in your laundry room. Fortunately, Mrs. Green does not spend a lot of time in the laundry room. Let's just make
does
a joke.
Does Mr. Green?
Mr. Green should be beaming right now. He's going, yeah, that, what does she know about laundry rooms? And I deserve that one, but I did my share of laundry back in the day. Anyway, we're very low impact in terms of laundry use in the Mrs. Green's World House. So changing filters, being aware. This is like, to me, the big deal is about being aware and tuning in to how you're feeling and making sure that you care enough about your health to do the preventative work.
Another thing, if you can tune in to when you walk into an area or to a home, does it smell fresh or does it smell stale? And Tim and I, of course, are in tune that way. When we walk through somebody's front door, we have an idea.
And I was so Pollyanna when you came into my house. I was so excited because we don't use cleaners and we don't have little, you know, those little things squirting the air out, the fake cinnamon smells and whatever they're called, Glade. And it makes me sick when I go into places that have those. And then yesterday when you finished the inspection, you said, it smells so much better in here. And that was joyous to me.
And it measures so much better.
And do you see how much more energy I have now?
Yes. I don't know. You have so much energy.
That's really a scary thought. Maybe James will be contacting you about putting a little carbon monoxide in the air so I sleep a little bit longer. So I want to know, this is a question I have wanted to ask you. What got you, Tim, I'm looking at, are passionate and on this journey with Gary. Gary, what got you interested and excited about this air quality issue as the former owner of Russet Southwest?
That's an easy question for me to answer. Probably not the answer you would expect to hear out of me.
I can handle the truth.
I was one of the first people and or companies to be drug into a major legal confrontation from homeowners over sick houses.
Wow.
Because of who I was working for.
Wow.
The builder. And they threw me under the bus, said on national TV, all three of the major TV stations were at the interview. They said, we did not know what Russet did wrong, but I'm sure they'll fix it.
Oh my gosh.
I said, I don't know what's wrong with the houses. But before I finish, I will know, and this will never happen to me again.
And I'm going to say it never did.
Never did, and after a period of years and a lot of research and a lot of money, that's why we're at where we are today and why we try to just take it further and do better for people just because of how we ended up in the circumstance.
You know, it just may seem weird to you guys that I am so passionate about it, but it really isn't, because the whole mission and vision of Mrs. Green's World is to be healthier.
Could I point out one thing quickly?
Yes. Take your time.
The people that tried to throw me under the bus, tried to hang all the lawsuit on me, and there was no lawsuit in the end. They turned out to be Russet's best customer for the next 20 years, and they did everything in the world to keep us doing the work after we figured out what was wrong with the homes.
I am so glad.
And the homes were too tight to breathe right.
I am so glad that you brought that part up, because that's a happy ending. I was going to say, hope they all went out of business, but you took the high road.
Yeah, we did the
That's not nice of me. No, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. I'm not surprised. So once again, time has flown. In case you just joined us, push rewind and listen to the whole podcast. You can find out more about this amazing company that are thought leaders and action leaders. We need more action leaders. RussetSouthwest.com. You can go to Russet Southwest Corporation on Facebook. Next week, All You Need Is Less, featuring Madeline Somerville about reducing our use. And the next week, Tucson Electric Power, shining the light on the Bright Students program. It's going to be another great show about educating kids. Thanks, you guys. It's delightful to have you in my studio.
Thank you,
Mrs. Christian.